This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
They try to do some things they say they want, but they're still not satisfied, and that is true. So then what is it? Well, the black race ran in touch with the real creator of the whole universe at one time. They was in perfect communication with him, and they lost it. Ever since then, they'd be lonely, trying to reach a state of the same ecstasy or whatever that they had at one time. So they use dope, and they'd go to church, and they'd do all kinds of things trying to reach that state because they had it. The white race never had it. They never had touch with the real governor, the ruler of the whole omniverse. He never sent them a prophet. He always sent them to black folks, always with them communicate. And then they went the wrong way, so then the communication was broken, and that meant that the white race couldn't get the real truth because they could only talk to people who would say what they thought, what they assumed, and go by that. But they had no word from the real creator. He never sent the white race anybody. Not at all. Except he sent them a hint in Paul. He sent them a hint. And he told the Gentiles, if you believe my lie. He did not tell the white race to be the truth. He said, if you believe my lie. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the white race hadn't even seen what Paul has said, but it's in there. He told me, if you believe my lie. So then the white race is supposed to follow the lie and not the truth. Because James Baldwin said, in the fire next time, man only knows one truth, and that is death.
And that's the tragedy.
That's it, but then you look and you see again, do you have anything to back that up? Yes, in Spain. When they killed the bull, what do they call that? The moment of truth.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So then it's right there for them. They should be attention enough to see these things all over the planet happening. And it's all here. The moment of truth is the moment they die. Then it's also written in one of the scriptures, because these folks have saved me, throughout all scriptures, take the Baha'i Temple in Chicago. I went and it sent up there like a space rocket. And I went out, I saw it, and I was amazed. So I went in there to see what it was, the Baha'i Temple. Sitting up on the hill, and they said the enemies of that religion called it God's orange juice squeezer, because it goes up like that. But anyway, it doesn't have any flow, it just goes straight up, just one flow. And they had 13 doors. This happened some time ago. I knew it was 13 doors, or maybe 11, but I think it's 13. Of each door, they got an inscription. And I was interested to see, well, what religion is really the one people should follow? So I was investigating that, and I looked over one door, and it had up there, it had God talking, saying that, I have made death a messenger of joy to thee. And I didn't look any further after that. I have made death a messenger of joy to thee.
And you didn't look any further.
And when I hear folks saying, joy to the world, the Lord has come, it kind of upsets me. Because they talking about death. And I wrote some things I had to tone down. I said, no, I don't know if the people are ready for this. But when I went to Kansas City, they interviewed me. And I told them, so quite frankly to them, they took my picture of Kansas City Star, put it up above the name of the paper. That's a very reactionary paper. A fellow told me raised in Kansas City. And he said, they'd never done that for anybody. And said, up under my name said, revolutionary, so to speak. Inside, they had something about beyond infinity. And then they had what I was saying. The first thing they said, I said was, death is the God of this planet. And they put that in the paper. Now you expect that to be like maybe an Occult magazine or something like that, but the daily newspaper. They put it in there and said, I said, death is the God of this planet and the ruler of it.
And that is what you had said? Were they quoting you?
It's in the Bible.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because it says, from Adam to Moses, death rules. Mm. Read in the book. So if death ruled then, it's still ruling. And I told the fellow, I said, in the bed, I said, it's almost over for the reign of death. And it's going to get a lot of people, hundreds and thousands at a time. It has to make up its quota, you see, before its end of its rule on this planet is over and people will not be dying. It has to do that. And then every day I pick up the newspaper, hundreds of people being taken. And in Philadelphia, every week, a lot of people get burned up, can't escape. And I said, well, that's what that Jesus said, I came to catch fire upon the earth. Well, he's setting the buildings on fire. Now, of course, they're worshiping him, and they might want to rebut that, but actually, do they believe the Bible or they don't? He said he came to cast fire upon the earth. It's happening every day. Mm-hmm. Plus the atomic bomb and people dropping bombs on people. Fire, that's what that is. I came to cast fire upon the earth. And they said they believe, but they don't believe nice, beautiful Jesus would do that. But I tell you, and in Rome, I got a book somewhere where they had Jesus on the front cover, and he was giving the man a karate chop with their hand, nothing on, and they falling away from. That's in Italy, though. You see, they got different mindset over there. But he's giving one man a karate chop, blind, the man falling back all the way. You know, when he went in, down there where the merchants was,
oh,
all the people
the
ran.
Temple,
well, they
the
had a picture of him in there. Karate chop against another karate chop over there, and people falling all over there. You know, people don't really run and leave that money. You know, they love that money. But he wasn't but one man. And he went in there, everybody fled for their life. What was they running from? So they have to take a good look at Jesus.
Well,
one man going somewhere, everybody run and leave their money.
What were they running from?
They was afraid of him.
Oh, okay. His anger, his righteousness?
Yeah, because he could just thank him. They knew that. They knew he had some power. But Judas didn't really intend for him to get hurt. Judas thought he would demonstrate his powers and take the whole world over. He thought that. But when he didn't, and just meekly went to his death, Judas was astounded.
In Chicago, did you know Elijah Muhammad?
I didn't. I only went to, before he got his temple, I went to a Baptist church once, and he was talking. And I realized there were some things he didn't know, because right before him was a Christian sign, S-H-I-T, so I retained that in my mind. Mm-hmm. I said, I think he don't know he's behind that sign, S-H-I-T, because if he did, he'd make him take it down.
So that was that.
Yeah. That was that.
Okay.
I knew they'd go so far, and they couldn't go any further.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it is with Islam. It was like they were going to conquer the world one time, and it stopped. It just stopped. And they haven't been able to get together since. They tried, but it's up to so-called Christians to change the world. They have to tell the truth. They have to tell the truth now. And the main one have to tell is black folks in America, they can change the world. All they got to do is to tell the truth now. The truth about what's happening to them. The truth about what they are. They have to be their real self now. They can't be pretending like they're slaves or that the white people got control over them. They have to step on their feet and say what they know about themselves, and they will be respected. They take down Alabama. I told some police, they had a fellow handcuffed from Brazil, back in the car. I told him, you know, I'm from Alabama. I don't like what you're doing down here. And don't you start that Reverend King stuff with me. Don't do it. Don't even try it. Now, this man you got back there, I know him. He hasn't done anything. Why do you have him back there? You're just passing through this town. And nobody knows anything about him. And how could you possibly be accused of him or something? He just went in there to get a hamburger or something. Next thing I know, you got him handcuffed in the car. I said, I don't like the way you disgrace this state. And you're getting ready to disgrace again because he's from Brazil. You're going to have the Brazilian embassy on you and fellas get Alabama into more trouble. And I'm from here and I don't like that because I go all the world and I'd be ashamed to tell someone I'm from Alabama because what you're doing down here. So what they do? They told me they'd like my attitude and they turned me loose. Yeah. And they told them, they said, we turn them over to you. We like your attitude.
Oh, we like your attitude, yeah. Who is the man? The man was from Brazil?
Brazil.
Oh, did you know him?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's playing to my band.
Oh, okay. That's the part I didn't understand.
Yeah. Just stop and get him a hamburger. But that happened, but they told me, we like your attitude. And that's what I'm talking about. I came down here to bring some beauty. And came in this Bible belt to blast it and tell you the truth. So I don't need no problems out of you.
Were the
policemen? The band was astounded.
Were the policemen white or black?
Huh?
Were the policemen white
they
or black?
They were white.
Right.
Three of them.
Why?
So they listen. In fact, when I went to Alabama and played, they when I got through playing, people surrounded me and said, well, why don't you come back to Alabama? Because we want the world to know that you're from here. We want the world to know it. And then we'll take you up there to Muscle Shoals of where we got our space probe and have you to make some photographs in the rocket ships we had there because, you know, it started in Alabama. A lot of people don't know that. That's where Brown Brown was. He was up there in the hospital where I was going to school up there. So I was right up there with the space probe all along. Hello? You see, with all that, I was right up there. And in Chicago, when they developed the atomic bomb, I was right there too. Right about 4 or 5 blocks where they was doing. So I've been connected with things that I didn't have no control over. And I have to, now, I have to talk to people, which I don't want to do that. A friend of mine called and said, remind me that I was in Chicago. They invited me to come out to talk to a church. And some more people went with me, said, put us out. And I started talking. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, well, I don't have no recognition of that. Oh, yes, it happened. Then the deacons came and put us out, said we must be crazy. But like a minister told me, the Bible don't say nothing about man going to the moon. I said, well, I'm saying so. He is going. He's going further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm delighted to see that it's happening. Japanese sent them word up.
Yeah, it is happening.
But it is... You see, all these things impressed on my mind, strange things, like in Germany. Germans kidnapped me one time. I told the fellows in the band, don't ever leave me alone with any nation, because they don't want to harm me, but I'm saying I'm representing the Creator, this personal ambassador, this planet. And ain't nobody no fool. If they feel that's true, they'd prefer to have me with them if I'm representing something as splendid as that. So don't leave me alone with them. They don't mean me any harm. They want to learn. But sure enough, I was in this car. We played a concert. And about 1,000 or more people were still out there in the hall. A German woman came up. She said, you know, you're the most dangerous intellect ever walked this planet. What makes me dangerous? Well, you're gonna get all the teenagers on the planet. I said, I don't ever be around them. As far as I'm concerned, they'll chip off the old block. The old blocks ain't no good. I don't be around here. Oh, yes. Every nation. And you talk about space. They think you're just talking. You're not talking. You're going to do everything you're saying. And I know that. Then some German men came up and said they want to interview me. So they got me in this car. They said they're going to the planetarium to interview me and make photographs. And the door was open. All the people standing around still. Band is outside. I'm in the car along with Germans. As I told them not to leave me alone in the nation. And I'm in this car with these Germans by myself. It's the same thing wherever I'm going. Somebody in the band should be. And look, and I said, bring me my shoes because I got my sandals on. I was going to tell somebody, get in this car. And as if they read my mind or something, they took off with the door. They went so fast, the door slammed, and I was gone. Then the band realized I told the truth, and they were looking everywhere for me. Up there, we were about 3 blocks from the wall. They could have took me to Russia anywhere. looking everywhere. And while they was going, they asked me questions. Strange questions. Like, how did I intend to get black folks off the planet?
Off the planet.
Off the planet. What kind of ships was I going to use? What kind of fuel was I going to use in the ships? What kind of material were the ships going to be made of? And they were asking me that. And I never said anything to them about things like that. Why did they ask me that?
Did you answer those questions? Or
yes, I said, well, I wasn't using the Earth used all that gasoline and all that stuff like that. They're using that. I'm using sound. I say, you haven't reached that stage on this planet yet where you can use sound to run your ships and to run your cars and to heat your house. You have not, your scientists haven't reached that yet, but it will happen. Where you can take the set and put in your car and run it with the right kind of music, of course. If the music is like you take two sticks and do that, if you take two sounds and you can make fire and you can make power, but they haven't reached that stage yet. They probably will. And you put that sound in there, and the sounds track against one another like that, and here you go in your car, your plane, and then you won't be it won't explode because you don't have no gasoline, you just got sound.
Just got sound,
and the sound can keep the ships in the air, but they'll reach that sooner or later. But that's what I told them. And then, so they brought me back to the hotel, and they went across the street in Berlin, Central Berlin. They put everybody outside the restroom, and they videotaped me, and they asked me again, and the Germans got it, what I said. So that happened to me too, and that band saw that too. I really woke up high in New York City one time, was an interview, the interviewer said, Sarah and the sleepwalkers. I showed him that. I said, see that? Sleepwalkers.
Sun Ra and Sleepwalkers? Referring to your band? Why'd they call them that?
Well, it was quite puzzling to me. One day I went to the library, and there's a book written by somebody called The Sleepwalkers. Mm. But it ain't about them really being asleep or something.
Oh,
it was very strange. It said The Sleepwalker. Have you seen that book?
It's a German novel, right?
Well, whatever it is, they were referring to whatever is happening in that book. That happened to me, so I have a lot of fun said sleepwalkers, huh? And maybe, well, I'm talking things which are very strange to man, and they might have a blocks to keep from hearing me. Sometimes, when I be talking to a black person, they go to sleep.
They go to sleep? Literally go to sleep? Or?
They go to up to a certain point, I can talk so much, and the next thing I know, their eyes closed, and they say that all the time. Sometimes it happened to some people in this band, you know, ones that ain't been with me a long time. I'd be talking, after a while, their eyes get heavy, and then
Well, speaking of the band, how do you know that someone's right for your band? I mean, you know, what must a musician do to be in your band?
Well, actually, they can't get in this band unless the creator sent them. If I can do everything in the world to help them, and he'll take them out of it. He don't respect my time, my effort, or nothing. If they don't belong in this band, they will not be in here. You take some of the fellas playing with me. We went to a party in Brooklyn where some people who weren't musicians were there. That very seldom happens to musicians. People just jump up. A man came up and told one of the saxophone players, you know, when you first got with this band, it's a black man. I said you weren't going to make it, that you didn't belong in this band. Right to his face. You've been with the band 10 years now. You might make it. I'm sure you weren't.
Why were they sure he wouldn't make it?
He said he was sure that they weren't going to be in this band.
Mm-hmm.
People know that when a person don't belong in this band. Even in Philadelphia, I'd have musicians now, somebody come and say, don't belong in the band. Have dancers come and say, don't belong in the band. We was playing in Baltimore, and the black man came and said, yeah, the two dancers you got are really wonderful. But they ain't quite got together because one of them did like that, and the little finger was like that, and the other did like that. And they ain't quite, but they some of the best on the planet, but didn't have that meticulous, you see. They be watching me. A lot of black people scared of me. Feeling some like in Philadelphia, they said, I got a statue of Satan in this room here, and I make the band bow down to it. They don't. I beat them with a whip and everything. They make the power to sticks of Satan. They say I got the statue in here. They said, furthermore, I got one down in the basement. I also beat them and make them crawl down and give allegiance to Satan. Well, you tell them, why don't you go over there? And they said, well, I'm not going to their house. That is one thing about Philadelphia. Well, said it all the time.
But how did you wind up coming to Philadelphia in 1969?
Well, they said that I had to change the planet, so then I tried to find the place at the worst spot on planet Earth, so I found the side is Philadelphia. And then I said, well, Death must have a headquarters somewhere. I got to find where Death headquarters is, and then I found out it's Philadelphia. Because it's the place where Liberty started. And I said, something wrong with the Liberty because the bell cracked on them. It ain't what it's cracked up to be. And folks are really losing that crack because it's cracking. Got a crack over the Liberty bell, so that goes with Liberty. Mm-hmm. Crack goes right with the Liberty. Because we're dealing in psychic things, abstract things. I mean, they're so devious that it look like it's not true, but then they said truth is strange in fiction. But I have to deal with that. Well, they might turn some people off from me in Philadelphia, saying Philadelphia is the headquarters of death. But, you know, it's the murder capital of America right now. So it comes out that what I'm saying. You take the other day, Tyrone, the trombone player, was down the subway, and some black teenagers were shooting each other from opposite of the platform. He had to jump down on the subway track, and 15 more black folks jumped down there with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't think about the danger of third rail or nothing. They was getting out the way of those teenagers. And they shot, and then they went. Well, you know, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But it can all change. But the music will have to do it. You take one of the worst citizens. He followed us all the way to Seattle. We're playing this song. He's like, yes, 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 that's it, go on and play. And I said, tell him to stop all that. He tried to listen to the music. But he said this song affected him, so he couldn't help himself. He could see the beauty in it. He could really see what I was talking about. But it was a popular song, East of the Sun and West of the Moon. Mm-hmm. And that was his reaction. He said he couldn't help himself. So there you are. So it reached him. Another teenager about last month told me, he said, you know, I heard the LPs you did with sixth grade jazz. I said, sixth grade jazz? He said, yeah. I could hear some things about you about that I didn't know when I heard this LP. I don't know the name of it, but I heard it on the air, sixth grade jazz. He said, because the average person in America got a sixth grade education, you brought it down where the average person could hear it. I said, you mean I came down to earth? He said, yes.
Well,
that happened right out. He said, I love you to death. I suppose in Philadelphia that means they really love you.
Well, speaking of coming down to earth, I mean, has your music changed a lot over, the last 20 years? You know, in the early 60s, mid-60s, you were rightly or wrongly identified with what was called the Free Jazz Movement.
Oh, that was deliberate. I didn't want them to see me. I was having my battle with God. I said, come down here and do it yourself. I'm not going to do it. I didn't mess the world up. Why should I be? Why me? Get one of the preachers to do it. And get one of your intellectual, get one of your millionaires to do it. Get somebody white to do it. Get a Muslim to do it. Why should I have to do that? I have nothing to do with it. So I'd have my battle with God, and then he refused to get anybody else. He said, no, you do it. But I'm alone. I don't have no church and no army, nothing like that. And all these people, they got their own opinions, and they're very vicious and violent, and they murder, they kill. I'm not anything like that. I got to go and talk to the hijackers. I got to talk to the voodoo folks out there who could just cast a spell on him. He said, well, they're all of my children, so you just talk to the children. They're all of my children. He said, the snakes are my children too, and the skunks and everything that's alive, my children. And you just approach it like that. Talk to the children. They'll listen. He said, they'll listen to me. So I can't go by nothing else. I said, well, but, you know, I went to Egypt, and I was sitting out in the sidewalk cafe, and a teenager came to me and said, you know, I love your music. I really love your music. The sun is shining brighter because you're here in Egypt with us, and there's life in Egypt because you're right here with us. That's what he said. And I'd never seen him before. He said, what do you want? I was in this place where maybe about 3 miles and nothing but diamonds and gold. And see, they got a street like that. It's beautiful. They start with a C, whatever the name of the place. That's where you go to get anything you want in jewelry. Fantastically. Every store got pure gold. So I was sitting thinking he wanted me to buy something. So I said, well, I haven't decided what I wanted yet. So then he reached in his pocket and took a roll of pounds out. I think it's pound this big. Take this then. And every day I wake up mad, man. I didn't take it. And if I had taken it, the whole thing would have changed. Because why? One time in Chicago, we was playing at the Birdland, and the MC stopped the show, black club, packed full of black people, Saturday night, and said, John Gilmore, step forward. So John stepped up there. He said, John Gilmore, what do you want out of life? That was a creator that said, so he'd do that. John said, I would like to travel. So I've been telling John, I said, next time, ask for some money, John. We've been traveling ever since. Because that's what you say you want. You didn't say you wanted no money, John. So then that's what I said in Egypt. I said, you see that? Now see if it happened to me, John. I'm gonna say what I want. Now I'll tell you what I want. I want a young Egyptian to come up, fall madly in love with me, with my music. And I want to have a lot of money. So much money. And then he could just travel us all over the world, and we never would have to worry about any money anymore. That's what I would ask for. And notice, sitting in the sidewalk cafe, here come the young Egyptian, said, I love your music. I'm madly in love with your music. I'd do anything for you. There it was.
But you didn't take the pound.
I didn't even think about what I had said. Ah. So I'm saying that people, if they express a desire, quite often the Creator sends exactly what they want. And they'll do like I did. They didn't think about it. So you have to be careful what you say you want, because he'll give it to you, even if it don't kill you. And that's the danger. You have to be careful.
But your music has changed. I mean, you're playing
more
songs.
I'm getting so I have to be like that little child, totally sincere, and put it out there for people. Say, here it is. Take it or leave it. I'm not trying to get you to follow me. I'm not trying to get you to have hope and faith. I'm a scientist, equationist, and the equations speak for themselves. Anytime you got equations, they have to say that it's true. That's what you call it when it's equational truth. It is true whether you want it to be true or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've never heard it before, but I can't back up and be like other Earth people when I got these equations. You know, so like I said, why is this planet named Earth? I asked the Creator that. Why do you call it Earth? I know you got a reason for naming everything. Tell me, why is this planet called Earth? And then he said, because Earth should be spelled E-R-T-H. You don't say the A in there. If you spell E-R-T-H and you turn it backward, it's three. And this planet is number three from the sun. And that's why it's called Earth. It's number three from the sun. And in ancient days, the people knew something. They had G as a third letter. Now you got C. But they had G in Greek, they had alphabet of Gamma. In Hebrew, they had Aleph Gimel. And they both had G as the third. And since G is the name of this planet, which you can prove by the word geography, you can prove it by the word geology, that G should be put back there where it belongs. But now you got the G down there at number 7. That's Uranus. It's number 7. This planet is number 3 from the sun. Uranus is number 7. Hmm. You know, that's when they say seventh heaven. That is Uranus. This is the third heaven. we own. This is definitely heaven. So it ain't too good to talk about you want to go to heaven when you die. They put you right out in, down in the ground. Now, can they accept that, that they go to heaven when they, this the third heaven? And in the Bible, it speaks of the third heaven. All they have to do is read about a man say he was lifted up to the third heaven. But then they have to be careful, but they lift up, because that book says the lifting up shall be the casting down. It is right in the Bible. The lifting up shall be the casting down. And you have to see that when they put a person on the ground, they cover them up. Mm. Why they say they cover them up? They put them down on the ground and they cover them up.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But they're down there, they're down. So then the book does say the lifting up shall be the casting down. And so if they lift Jesus up on the cross, they cast him down. Mm. You see? So you got these equations. They must deal with them. I can't escape them. Neither can they. And besides that, Jesus will be spelled with a G anyway.
Is music an equation? Or is music a series of equations?
Oh, yes, definitely. You have to have. If you have an equation of science from space or from the Creator, they're going to put everything out of where the harmonies would be proper. Mm-hmm. Maybe if not used to them, but they're proper. They throw out certain overtones, you see. And then you got to put a certain number of notes in a measure. That's mathematics right there. Mm. And then you got to divide them up a certain way, and you can reach people certain ways by the way you divide those notes. If you divide them wrong, then you disharmonize a person. They're going to be what that music is. Now, something happened to me in Chicago, where I felt I was a medical student, and I was playing something. He said, "Don't do that." I said, "Don't do what? Don't do that to man. What am I doing? You're playing this nerve music. And nerves are all over a man's body. And you know, it's irresistible while you reach every nerve in his body. You can't resist it. Don't do that to me." I said, "Well, everything else has been done to him, so I might as well do that. They got some nerve gas, ain't they? Military uses it on their nerves, so I'm going to use my music on them." So I ring up playing nerve music, but then I have to watch it because it is not my imagination. And we played in Howard University, and the girl, prettiest girl on the campus, got in the bus with us, so she's getting ready. Her boyfriend said, "Where are you going?" She said, "With the band." She's holding her heart. "I'm going with the band." He said, "But you don't sing. What you going to the band?" "I have to go with the band." And the rest of the students had to take her bodily and take her off the bus. See, the music reached her that way.
That way, yeah.
Another in India, we were playing Slugs in New York City, and a man came up from India and said, "Have you ever been to India?" "No." "Why don't you learn to play the sacred forbidden music there?" I said, "I know. That's one of my compositions." He said, you played the forbidden temple music in India. There ain't no ordinary people. They ain't supposed to listen to it. You played it. I've heard it." Now, he said that to me. I said, "Well, that's the way I feel. That's what I hear." And then one day, in Paris, the band was playing, I was doing this dance, and a man came from Africa and said, you just did the chief dance of our tribe. You did the exact movement of the chief dance." And I have all these things that happen to me all the time, strange things. You know, strange things happen to you. It makes you a bit odd from other people. It's not happening to them. So then, why should they believe that it happened? But you stopped in one sense. In another sense, you're busy progressing and evoluting, which I call EVER. I'm not dealing with EVO.
EVER.
EVER. Mm-hmm. Evolution. That's dealing with eternal things, mm-hmm. infinitive things. I have to deal with that. And so because I said maybe astro infinity, and people look at that and think it's just a gimmick. Like, who's that? The New York Times. When I first went to New York, thinking John S. Wilson wrote it and said, "You know, if gimmicks would get it, I'd be the greatest musician in the world. Irresistible." That's what he wrote. I still got it. But then about 10 years later, New York Times came out and said, "Gold Road Pianist bypasses the space age." I got bypass the space age. And so they didn't say what age I was in, but they said I bypassed it. So, and in England, they right up and said, ha, 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 flying saucers coming to take me away. Something she asked me about, when, since she begged my father, when is the world going to end? I said, well, this system of things would end when I go to Egypt and play in the pyramids. So the archer said, ha, 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 ha. But I did go to Egypt, and I did play in the pyramids, yeah. So since then she has begged my pardon. But I went there, and I said, well, it would end then. It won't seem like it, but everything's going to change.
So it's after the end of the world.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's the reason you called it.
Yeah. And because I was laughing up my sleeve at the way they talked. They talked about me real bad. He's taking Chicago, lives on my case. I was talking about the space. Lives on the case. But when I left Chicago, some people were crying and said that I wasn't coming back. I was going to Canada, you see.
Right, right.
And they said one time said, we just getting so we can appreciate what you're doing and you're getting ready to leave us. You won't be back. I said, oh, I'll be back. After 2 weeks, they said, no, you're not coming back to Chicago. And they were crying. So I went on up to Canada. Then I had trouble. We had a picture made with our space stuff on. It was advertised, but the owner of the place felt that it was too far for people. So after 2 days, he wanted to cancel the contract. The Canadian Union got over in and said, well, the man said I was playing God's music. I said, well, I've heard the Canada is God's country. I've never been out of America, so I know that God is over America, so I thought it was over Canada too, so if I am playing it, since I ain't said nothing like that, they saying that I got a perfect right to play God's rhythm in God's country. So they compromised, and we just played that 2 days. And then something came up where the Creator had me to go to St. Paul events and play out there by the lake, and we was out there playing for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
The people at the Morocco club thought that I'd come back to America. They were trying to reach me. Because that Wednesday night, 300 people came up in that Cadillac and that Rolls Royce the hills. They realized they made a mistake. People were ready for something different in Canada. So I'm going back up there now. Day after tomorrow, it's like starting all over again. And I told Cornelius interviews, I said, I'm gonna drop it on Canada this time. The last time, I just had my little kindergarten stuff. This time, I'm gonna put my other stuff on. This will drop right on them. Now they see that what I was talking about, singing about space, it's reality. They don't have a space program, seemingly, so they need to get themselves together. If they listen to me, then it's been them sending a spaceship up instead of Japan. So I talked about them.
What's the significance of orchestra?
Well.
Instead of orchestra.
It's a play on words.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I used to write up. The English got a big write-up headline said, Covenant of the Orchestra. Covenant. And another paper said, a new, different type of testament. Spain says, the divine sunrise. France says, a pharaoh descends to earth. All kind of write-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Washington said, another type of being. Birmingham says, the mighty Sun Ra, the mighty Ra. All kind of write-ups. You'd be amazed at some of the things. But that would really interest me where it said a covenant of the orchestra. But you know you got art. If you start with the art, so you can abbreviate, I mean, you can just, in a sense, you just say ARC.
I'm sorry, what?
ARC, A-R-K.
ARC.
So I use that.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, come over and get over into the Sun ARC.
The Sun ARC, right, yeah.
You see, it's a play on words, because some people really maybe aren't supposed to be part of this. I don't know. I'm still ignorant, you see. I don't really know, but I know it's something far. It's like selective service of God, picking out some people. He got them. He got them all over the planet. Now in Germany, we've had this experience. Some people come up blonde, perfect white, and say, "I'm black too." Mm-hmm. All the time, "I'm black too," and no hint of nothing, no racial bit. Just say they black. So then, sometimes I say, "Well, dark spirit, music of the dark spirit." I like the word dark better than I do black, in a sense. In fact, one of black folks' children used to be darkest, which is quite revealing, because you got a song that said, somebody got to plant the cotton plant, that's why darkest is born. And then you got another song without a song. A dark is born, but he's no good, no how, without a song. So take that and use it as my text and say, you know, it comes down to the music. The black folks ain't got nothing. God didn't give them nothing but music. Mm-hmm. And then I look at sometimes the black church is singing in unison. They got somebody that directed unison. I listen to white church harmony, all that. And so I do say, the black church, they use three chords on it. And then over the white church, they use all kind of. In Germany, they did something. I should be doing some sound like that, thank God. Still progression, you see. But music is a language, and music be saying things. In fact, I got a lot of things, that a lot of tapes I made. And one night last month, I was listening to one of the tapes. It frightened me. What was said, being said in that song was something else. It took me on outside the universe, listening at it, and in my composition, but it still was frightening.
Well, are there compositions of yours, musical viewers, that you don't want to release for that reason?
Well, I didn't want to release it, but you take like this LP out there a minute. Have you heard that?
Yes, the
English came and they wanted me to put something out I was doing in the 60s. Mm-hmm. They said that was it. They wanted that teenager to hear. They said they need new music. And then they searched, they found this is it. They want this to be used as a foundation. So they asked for it, so then I never put that on record. So I gave them that. And they put out there a minute.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was, that those were things from Saturn Records. You know,
they weren't out before.
I see.
They wanted all of it together. Like, mostly I put something like my composition, I put them up. They wanted just my compositions.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I gave it, because they said it's going to be in the United Kingdom. And they built up, they put a nice, I haven't even seen the LP.
Yeah, I've seen the compact disc. It's here now, too, you know.
It's very
pretty. In the U.S.
The cover is...
Yeah, assuming I've seen the CD, which I guess is the same cover,
yeah.
with your it's sort of, I don't know how to describe the colors, but an orange.
Yeah. And then they did it through a photographic computer. It really, pictures tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
This picture really tells a story that they got about what I'm doing. It's sort of abstract. It's
yes,
going yeah. to what you might call the myth world. But I'm saying we're in a democracy now. But I really prefer the mythocracy, because the truth is, that's where black people in America are. Creator got them in the mythocracy. They, you know, myth is before history. They're not over in the history now. They're over in the myth. Anything before history is in the myth. And you want to find about black people, go in the myth department in the Philadelphia Library and read about them in ancient Egypt and Assyria. And Persia, all of them were black people. So they're over in the myth department now. So I come talk about the myth and try to put it together and realize that before they had Christianity, Rome was worshiping Mithra. Myth. M-I-T-H-R-E. Mithra. And they said Mithra was a Sanskrit word which meant friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Rome was worshiping. And furthermore, Rome, to this day, they said that Rome was first called Saturnia, named after the planet Saturn. So I got all the books on that. And furthermore, they go further back, way back, and it was prophesied that the Son of God, or somebody representing God, would visit this planet. And it would be the fruit of the sun, S-U-N, and his mother would be named Ida, not Mary. Now they have to go back there and see and put that together. They have to find these books now, but they hear that his mother would be named Ida, because the word Ida is where the word idea came from.
IDA.
Yeah,
IDA.
Okay. And so then this is the tree of the idea of good and evil. For the idea instead of the tree over there, the family tree of Ida. You see, for people, they call it family trees. Now, they're part of a tree. But it's talking about this Ida tree, which is the idea, conception, the assumption. All that goes together, the conviction. And that's why so many black people in jail. They have been convicted, you see, and they become convicts because of the positive thing of the idea that they have. It has convicted them, and they become convicts because of the conviction here. And the whole idea, the white race got the whole total thing wrong, because they're sincere, and they be trying to follow the Bible the way it's written. And in Minnesota, they said that they had black folks in slavery because the Bible said so. You know, so they based it on the Bible. They said they wasn't doing nothing. That God told them to do it. And the book does say they didn't allow black people to go to college, study. And the Bible does say, teach them not the wisdom of words. Because if you teach them and they would understand, they would turn and be saved. The Bible forbids to teach anybody anything. Now they got the book. I had to study that book from the point of view that this is a textbook. And I took my red pencil and I marked in there, found astounding things. And I know that book.
The Bible.
I know the whole, I got the keys to it. I even got the ancient Egyptian interpretation of it.